Here's Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I was in my attic the other day with an electrician. He was... I would appreciate you not laughing at some of my troubles. Anyway.
Got it. I do know your troubles, so go ahead.
We were looking at some wires, and he goes, well, that could catch fire. And then he also noticed that the insulation had peeled off some of the wall and the roofing there. And he said, you can just go to Home Depot or, you know, Menards or whatever and just get some rolls of that stuff, and I'll just roll it up in there and replace that. What do you think about that, Lou?
Well, I mean, look, if there's bare spots in the attic, and this is what, you know, I was talking to you and Pete about, I took a call this weekend about, you know, the snow melts off my roof right when, you know, after it snows, is that a sign that I need insulation? And that's 100%. And if all of a sudden there's bare spots in there, if the rest of the attic insulation is adequate, then, you know, adding to those bare spots certainly makes a lot of sense. You know, in our area here, the building code is for R49, which is about 14 inches of insulation.
Wow.
You know, up in an attic space. So it's a lot. That's a very thick layer.
Wow.
And, you know, when some people, you know, you can upgrade and you can go all the way to R60. I mean, it's, you know, the bigger the blanket, the warmer the house is. And so you can certainly add to that. And I have, long before our friends at PermaSeal were putting in insulation, I said the single best thing you can do to be more comfortable in your home and lower your energy bills, if you're going to invest in anything, is more insulation in the attic. And so it's like wearing a hat on your head in the wintertime. You know, if you go out and it's windy and it's cold, you're not wearing a hat, you're freezing.
What about
this? Put a good hat on, you feel great.
What about this, Lou? Do you put it on the floor of the attic? Does that work as well as pinning it up to the wrap, you know, the roof of the attic?
Right. So this is the problem. So your attic is you can walk around in your attic.
Yeah.
Right. So the problem is this: if there is not a moisture barrier underneath the floorboards when you're walking around, the risk you have when you insulate the underside of the roof, the roof rafters and the gaps in between there, is that moisture can permeate up through the ceiling and through the floorboards, and then it gets to the, you know, what's more, most likely craft face insulation, so that's a vapor barrier, and then that that will trap moisture up in the attic, which could cause mold and mildew, so that's not good. And so it's, you know, it's not an easy answer as to say, oh, adding more insulation will make, you know, up in that up in those rafters will make my house warmer. It will, but it could cause other problems. And so better to have the right insulation underneath the floorboards with a vapor barrier first, and go that route before you go and finish it all and do that kind of stuff.
I know this is something you wanted to talk about, so I just want our audience to know it's not just about me here, but
no.
Because I think a lot of people appreciate what you're saying. But are you then saying to pull up the floorboards in the attic and, you know, hammer them out and then put this insulation?
So in a situation like you, okay, you've got this very old home. And there's plenty of people that listen that have very old homes. And, you know, if it's prior to 1960, which yours is prior to 1960, if it has insulation at all, it's probably what they call old rock wool insulation. Not very thick. Not that it's bad, but it's not enough. And, you know, and the other thing, too, is in your old home, you know, there's a good chance that those ceiling joists are only 2x6s. So at the most you could get is an R19 in that floor. And so, but you probably don't have that now. And so, you know, if you were going to insulate this the right way, anybody, you would take up the old insulation, you would air seal everything. So every ceiling fixture, every joint where there's a, maybe there's a vent or something, and they'd put spray foam there to seal the draft. That's the key. Then they would blow in new insulation. Now, in your, the case of your attic, you know, if it's unfinished, and you're really not using all of it for storage, I don't know, do you store anything up there, John?
No.
Okay. So if it were me, and this would be anybody listening in their home, I would take up those floorboards. I would do the air sealing. I would add the R49 up there. And if there's a certain area where you're like, oh, I really wish I had a spot to put my Christmas decorations, you know, then put some floorboards over there, maybe towards the center of that attic, so that that insulation, that real robust insulation that you just installed, is out towards the perimeter of there, so you get the best of both worlds.
Anything else about attic insulation before I go to some questions, Lou?
You know, people ask me a lot between fiberglass and cellulose, and I think that they're both really good products. If you made me choose, I'd probably go with the fiberglass, but, you know, if you get a really good deal on a cellulose installation of a blow-in, that's great. The spray foam insulation, much more expensive, but probably the industry best if you did the whole thing in that spray foam insulation, because you get the highest R value, and so those are some things to consider.
Hey, Lou, my daughter painted her bathroom, not realizing that flat paint is not great for bathrooms. She loves the color. Is there something she could paint over that to so that it cleans up better, like a clear coat or something? Can she just paint over that and sort of make it its own gloss?
Yeah, I think that I would avoid putting it, anything over the top of it. What I would do is, Benjamin Moore makes a product called Bath and Spa that has a built-in mildicide. Regular flat paint does not. It's great that she loves the color. The fact that it's flat paint, it acts like a primer. I would lightly sand the surface down. I would buy a gallon of the Bath and Spa from Benjamin Moore and repaint the bathroom with that as your top coat in the same color. And, you know, that will hold up really, really well in a bathroom.
And then you only need one coat, huh?
Well, I don't know the color. I mean, if it's a dark color, I mean, if she matches the color, then probably should get away with one coat.
Please ask Lou if sealing the concrete patio is important. We had one poured late summer. We want to protect it in the spring. Is there such a product?
Yeah, I like sealing of the products. There's a company out of Kenosha, Wisconsin, actually has a connection to my producer, Lindsay Smithwick, a family friend, called Bone Dry, and it is a silicate-based sealer. They commercially use it under all these commercial floors, like at retail stores, before they put all this flooring down. It absorbs into that top, probably 16th of an inch, maybe even an 8th of an inch, what's called the cream coat of the concrete, and it keeps the moisture from coming up. It keeps the staining from going in, and it actually bonds with the concrete, and it's awesome. So clean it really well, buy this product, apply it, and it'll probably be the last time you have to do it.
Please help, Lou. My quartz in my shower has calcium residue. How in the world do I get it out of there?
My quartz in my shower. So you need to be careful with the products that you choose. And so I would try using, I mean, if I'm assuming it's quartz panels, and so there is a product called Bright and Clean that's actually designed for glass, but for quartz, because it has that shiny finish that's non-absorbent, it'll work really well. It's a very fine powder. Mm-hmm. You put it onto a microfiber pad, like a towel, that's, you know, in warm water. Sprinkle it on like you're salting your eggs, and then rub in a circular motion. It'll take a little elbow grease, but it should take the calcium off and leave the shine.
Hey, guys, we have a 1970s green and white vinyl tile floor in our restaurant. How do we freshen up this beautiful vintage floor?
Well, if it's vinyl, you know, there's a couple of good, what you need is you need a stripper, you know, and you need to put a floor wax on it. And so you're gonna go to either an industrial supply or many hardware stores will have this. You're going to use a vinyl floor stripper to get it down to, you know, just the vinyl itself, and then you're going to apply a commercial-grade floor wax over the top, not unlike what they do at grocery stores on that what's called VCT tile, and it'll look beautiful. It will cause you to have to do this probably, depending on the traffic in the restaurant, two or three times a year, but it'll look amazing when it's done.
More questions like this answered, excuse me, Saturday morning with Lou Banfordini. From 6 to 10. That's all the time I got, Lou. It's always good to hear you, though.
Together, we are America, John.
Yeah, right. Was that written on the football you said the Bad Bunny had?
The football that he carried throughout the halftime show, he had it clutched in his hand, and at the end, he could have held it just one little longer moment longer more for the camera, but then they super, you know, they got the clip so everybody could see it, and it's a great message. Together we are America. So, amen, brother.
That's your friend, Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, Saturday morning at 6.